Welcome to this Journey Through the Bible podcast. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who enlightens our hearts and helps us understand your word. Thank you, Lord, for leading me by your precious Holy Spirit as this word goes forth, and may it bring much fruit for the sake of your glorious kingdom. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen. Well, today's subject is one that we as believers sometimes overlook and which sadly Satan ends up using for his own evil advantages. The expression bitter root judgment comes from various biblical references, which I'm going to be dealing with as led by the Holy Spirit. I started to think about this topic in more depth when preparing for our church ladies' Bible study, which at the moment is on the book of Ruth. One passage in particular, which should be familiar to most people, is Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, where Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, arrive in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. For those who have not read the story, it would be well worth your while doing so. However, please note that I'm not focusing on the book of Ruth for this particular teaching, just using the example of Naomi's bitterness towards God as an illustration in order to get a point across. So reading now from verse 19 of chapter 1. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem, and when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole city was stirred because of them, and the woman asked, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, which means sweetness. Call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Almighty has caused me great grief and bitterness. I left full with a husband and two sons, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Of course, this was only Naomi's perception due to her very traumatic experiences. However, it was certainly not the fault of the Almighty that these tragedies had taken place, with both her husband and her sons dying prematurely. Yet isn't this the way that so many of God's children think? That the Lord God Almighty is responsible when bad things happen to them. Hence the reason for roots of bitterness embedding themselves in the hearts of good Christian people, often without really even realizing it. And the devil has a heyday. Well, the book of Ruth has a wonderful ending, and Naomi is healed of her grief and bitterness, emphasizing how the Lord only wants good for his children. The issue is that bitterness is dangerous and needs to be dealt with. The Hebrew word for bitter is the word marah, M-A-R-A-R, and it means to trickle, to be bitter, sorely grieved, vex or provoke. And the Hebrew word for afflicted is raa, R-A-A, which means to spoil, good for nothing, breaking to pieces. So instead of the God of Israel being a loving, compassionate father, Naomi saw him as cruel and punishing, thus blaming him for all her grief. Angry and disappointed at being treated so unfairly in life when it wasn't God's fault at all. However, roots of bitterness can also result, obviously, from deep resentment towards people and not only towards God. As Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15 states, "Continually pursue peace with everyone and the sanctification without which no one will ever see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of God's grace, that no root of resentment springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." Therefore, it's equally important not to have any unforgiveness towards others. However, it is not always easy to be peaceable with everyone or have warm-hearted feelings towards others all the time, due to the fact that people can be difficult and we are all subject to human tendencies and weaknesses. As representatives of Christ, it is our responsibility to make sure that no root of bitterness springs up in our hearts, causing trouble, because it will contaminate many other people in the process. It's not your or my place to sit in the seat of judgment either. Only God has that kind of authority. Ultimately, He is the judge of the human heart and not people. As Romans chapter 12, verse 18 to 21 says, "Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, 'I will revenge, I will pay them back,' says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." In other words, God expects us to operate in the opposite spirit as much as it is within our ability or our power to do so, as led by the Holy Spirit, and obviously hearing His voice in every situation, because every situation is different and wisdom from the Lord is very important. The natural human tendency is to lash back at those who hurt us or who persecute us for the sake of the gospel, those who are rude or offensive or abusive, and who the devil uses to trigger off negative emotions in our hearts. So to put the Bible into practice in this area is very often easier said than done. However, allowing resentment and anger to build up will lead to bitterness and the judgment of others, which, bottom line, is rebellion towards God, as His word states in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. And it says, "Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshipping idols," whereas operating in the opposite spirit will always produce positive, healthy results and good fruit for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. In line with these scriptural principles, there is a powerful testimony, otherwise known as the pineapple story. You are probably familiar with this story, but it's told by a man by the name of Otto Koning, and he and his wife Carol were called by God to be missionaries in Papua New Guinea in the early 1960s. However, Otto grew very frustrated and angry with the local villagers, who repeatedly stole his prized pineapples, amongst other things. After many failed attempts to protect his property and his growing anger, he eventually surrendered his rights and his pineapple garden to God. His continual anger and resentment had begun to adversely affect his health, and after about 7 years or so of much defeat and failure in ministry, he attended a conference in the USA where he was challenged to make a decision to hand everything over to God instead of trying to control the situation himself, a choice which brought him deep peace and freedom. As a result, the local people noticed that he had stopped getting angry and asked instead if he had become a Christian. In other words, his life had not lined up with the message that he had been preaching, and the profound change in him paved the way for a fruitful ministry and conversions to Christ. It took a while for Otto to come to the place where Christ really became the Lord of his life, a process which is not easy, but possible, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and a desire to become more like God by making an agreement with Him and His Word, instead of being hoodwinked by the devil and agreeing with his lies. Another example, and this time from a personal perspective, some years ago I had a particular situation in my life where I was so angry with some friends of ours due to various reasons, that when I happened to see them at Centurion Mall, I chose to ignore them and walked on instead. The Lord, in his grace and loving kindness, understood where I was at that time and helped me to deal with the resentment by making a choice to forgive the couple. And when I finally met up with them some years later, I had absolutely no bad feelings towards them whatsoever. In fact, it was good to see them again. Unforgiveness, whether it is towards God or people, is a very dangerous thing, and Scripture warns against it for a reason. Yeshua himself, or Jesus, said in Mark 11, verse 25 to 26, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, drop the issue, let it go, so that your Father, who is in heaven, will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your transgressions." I happened to share this particular scripture with a lady who was really offended by it and responded in anger towards me as a result. Obviously, something had triggered off some negative emotions in her. The issue is that these words were not mine, and they are not mine, in the first place, but straight from the mouth of the Lord God Almighty himself. Now, this is just another example of how the enemy tries to use things for his purposes, and the importance of not succumbing to his schemes, but rather beating him at his game, because a root of bitterness has the power to contaminate many other people, much like a contagious disease which is passed on from one person to another, causing death and destruction, if not nipped in the bud. Going on now to another scripture, and this one is found in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 29, verse 18, which also provides an example of bitter root judgment, where Moses instructs the children of Israel, saying, "So that there will not be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God, to go and serve the false gods of these nations, so that there will not be among you a root of idolatry, bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood," which means bitterness. This was a warning to God's people that departure from serving the one and only true God of Israel in order to worship false gods would be a recipe for disaster, which would only end up in disappointment and bad fruit, and obviously bitterness. I'm connecting all the dots here by making reference to a variety of scriptures in an effort to highlight the importance of dealing with any seeds of bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, which might have been planted in the soil of one's heart, and making sure that they are uprooted as quickly as possible. I personally have found that forgiveness is a choice which has to be made, not based on feelings, but a simple act of the will, and a choice which is made repeatedly if necessary. Then the negative emotions will eventually disappear once the decision to forgive is made, and verbalizing forgiveness is very helpful too, by saying, for example, "I choose to forgive the person, whoever it might be." Writing the names down on a piece of paper and then burning the paper was something which I learnt when I attended a course at LL Ministries, when they were dealing with the subject of unforgiveness and bitterness. The issue is, whatever works for you, do it, because failure to walk in forgiveness will ultimately prevent a person from going to heaven one day. It's also important to check that there is no unforgiveness towards oneself. Some people simply cannot forgive themselves for various reasons, and this too hinders one's relationship with God and with other people. And that's where there needs to be a revelation of God's unconditional love and acceptance, that the blood of Christ washes away all sin and shame. After all that the Lord Yeshua has accomplished on your and my behalf by dying such a cruel death on the cross in order to redeem the whole of mankind, how foolish it would be to forfeit the whole of eternity in heaven by refusing to walk in forgiveness. It really doesn't make any sense. All bitterness does is make a person sick, miserable, and depressed, and unresolved grief will also result in emotional breakdown due to negative emotions, which weaken the immune system and are also the cause of much mental distress and problems. Yeshua came to this earth to bring healing and deliverance, as stated in his very first sermon that he ever preached, and that's found in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, pardon, forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed by tragedy." This is the very nature and character of the great physician, the comforter, the counselor. That is the nature of Christ. Now, usually in most cases, Holy Spirit counseling is necessary in order to get healing and deliverance. One of the reasons why it's so important for every child of God to belong to a church fellowship for this to take place. Having said this, however, it would have to be a church which teaches on the healing of the human spirit and setting the captive free. In other words, a church that believes in healing and deliverance. Sadly, not all churches are equipped in this regard due to ignorance or traditional religious belief systems where they don't actually operate in healing and deliverance. But the issue is, God wants his people set free from bondages. And unforgiveness is often the reason why some people don't get set free, because Satan blinds them into thinking that they are fine and have no need to be set free in this area. And that's where the deception and the blindness comes in, because where there's unforgiveness and bitterness, it causes a blindness. James chapter 3 verse 11 says, "Does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Well, when the heart is bitter, it will spew forth out of a person's mouth angry, resentful words, much like the contaminated waters of a polluted river, which is no good to man or beast." I've been there, so I know what I'm talking about, and it's not a nice place to be. But praise God for his deliverance. And the times when I do get offended, I sort my heart out as quickly as possible, because I really don't want to jeopardize my relationship with my Heavenly Father. Ephesians 4 verse 31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you." When it comes to marriage, for example, Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19 states, "Wives, be subject to your husbands, out of respect for their position as protector and their accountability to God, as is proper and fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives with an affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for them, and do not be embittered or resentful towards them because of the responsibilities of marriage." My husband and I pray together on a daily basis, and it is advisable wherever possible to pray with your spouse. For those who are listening to this podcast who are married, if you are not already doing so, as this will minimize problems in areas such as finances, amongst other things, in order to avoid the devil getting a foothold and bringing division. For a house divided cannot stand, but unity, on the other hand, brings God's blessings. Another scripture, and I'm going to end off on this note, is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, which says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." So let us all, as Christ's representatives on this earth, endeavor to put the scripture into practice as much as possible and produce beautiful fruit for the sake of his glorious kingdom, instead of operating with a bitter root judgment, which only brings about negative, poisonous, and bad fruit, which does nothing to enhance the kingdom of heaven. May this teaching be a blessing, and may the word of God be put into practice in this area. Be blessed in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.